Blog Talk Radio.
Go with Beth, get them, watch it expand on your
phone. I'm an independent bitch, independently rich. Most men don't know what to do with this shit. Should be chasing them while they're chasing me. And they'll spend a million for a taste of me. They say an independent chick cookie even tastes better. They say it feel a little tighter, get a little wetter. They told a few times that I'm the best ever. I asked a man and he said, you betcha. I pioneered this whole independent bitch movement. I'm not only a member, I'm the head president. So salute me, bitch, when you see me, bitch. And I might give you some pointers how to do this shit. See, I don't ask no man for shit, no. And I don't beg no man for shit, no. But if he ain't fooling me with gifts, then he ain't the man I'm with. Hell no.
All right. Hi, guys. I wanted to thank you all for coming on, Chris and Ellis. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Giovanni?
I am fine. As you know, I had quite a time getting started today. Sorry, guys, for the delay. I'm still not necessarily quite there. Chris is over there. I'm having issues with my notes. He's over there shopping. So I'm kind of jealous.
Wait a minute now.
Yes, I'm calling you out. Yes, I am. He's being the asshole over there. So what did you get? Would you like to share with the class what you just picked up?
Sneakers, a couple shirts, you know, nothing big.
Nothing big.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's what they say. All right. Hi, everyone. Today.
Sorry. I have to mute myself again.
I'm not paying him any attention since he's going to be the show's asshole today. Hi, everyone. Today is May the 7th, and we're here for a special episode of Poplitz Radio. Since tomorrow is Mother's Day, we're recording a day early, but the show will re-air tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern. Today's panel includes L.A.-based actor, singer, model, and writer Ellis Moy, and
Hello.
A friend of the show, Christopher Griffin.
Hey.
Hi, Ellis.
Hi, how are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well, man.
I'm pretty good.
I hope you're getting me something since you're shopping. Just, you know.
You don't like Burberry.
I want the host to get something. I don't like what?
You don't like Burberry, remember?
I have a Burberry scarf, umbrella, and a tie, a couple other things.
Well, I do like Burberry. I can give you my address and you can ship me something.
Okay. So listen, getting started. Commemorating the 40th anniversary of Sports Illustrated, America's favorite new woman, Caitlyn Jenner, will be appearing nude on the cover. I repeat, at 66 years old, Caitlyn Jenner with her IHOP crepe arms and Barry White bedroom voice will be covering Sports Illustrated, naked. Now, her family might be overexposed, but I welcome any new nudes from the Kardashian clan. But Caitlyn, somebody roll up a newspaper and bop the editors over the head like a dog. No. What do you think about Caitlyn?
I don't think it's ever really flattering for an 80-year-old woman to post nude. Just saying.
Oh, come on. She's not 80.
Okay.
Not quite.
Close to it. I just feel like she's taking advantage of her platform, most definitely, but I feel like she's using it as, say, a regular transgender woman wouldn't use it for. And I don't think she's really been through the whole struggle thing. So for her to pose nude and doing all this type of stuff when Bruce Jenner, as a man, claimed he did not like the limelight, and I feel like he's doing all that for publicity.
Don't pay that attention. That down. Go ahead.
You have a point. I never really thought about it like that because I remember him saying that on one of the episodes of the Kardashians, but I didn't think about that. Wow.
Now, I have to add that the thing that I noticed when Keeping Up with the Kardashians first started was that Bruce was very shy and awkward. Like, he didn't make – well, you're not supposed to look at the camera, but he was always shying away. Like, the camera would come in the room. He was always doing something. He would go out of the room. I'm going to go run an errand. Or he's going in the garage. He was always going out of the way to not be on camera. So, for one, when he came out, I said, well, that makes sense because many men that are in the closet tend to be shy. So I thought it totally makes sense because he just never wanted to be around everyone else. And he seemed to be hiding something. So that was clearly the big thing that he was hiding. But to see her being, I still struggle with the him, her thing. I know it's wrong, but yeah. She just has a hard, seeing her being thrown into the limelight the way that she is and all the tweeting and everything, it's just totally not her.
It's not. And, I mean, I appreciate somebody living their truth, but my thing is, why didn't you live your truth 20 years ago or even 30? You know, you wait to near death to live your truth.
I agree.
You know what? Can I just throw out there that I've died recently. I've recently passed away when you started talking mad shady about him, Bonnie. And I thought I came back to life for a second, but I didn't. So
what? I mean, you mean shady today? I've been worse.
I
mean, you thought I was. I didn't even realize I was
being worse, but I wasn't ready for it yet.
Ready for the Caitlyn shade or shade period? I thought I was pretty.
I wasn't ready for it. I mean, but shoot, I wasn't ready for none of it.
Hey, first look, I told you that you all were muted before we even went on air. I cursed up a freaking storm trying to play AV Tech over here. The shame got me doing everything like I'm the house slave. as for why she didn't do this 30 years ago, I mean, come on, the times are different. And I know that Wendy said, you know, your children need a dad and not for you to be playing dress up, which is a nice, cute thing to say. And that is kind of true. The family's a little messed up. But as long as you're being supportive of your children or, you know, trying to steer them in the right direction, if that's your truth, if that's what you want to do, and you want to wait to this stage of your life, I mean, why die with a woulda, shoulda, coulda, with what you wish that you could have done?
I mean, you have a point. And I agree with that. I mean, because you should live your truth. But at the same time, it's like you basically almost lived your life, you know, and then you decide that you want to play dress up. I don't get it.
And okay, 66 years old, on the cover of Sports Illustrated Naked or on anything naked, a 66-year-old, really? I mean, I don't think – do you want to see anyone that age – on there?
Not at all. I mean, unless you're Iman.
And the last I checked, I mean, Sports Illustrated, don't guys like looking at women? So I kind of have a little bit of a hard time understanding having Caitlyn on the front. I don't know. Now, someone, I was talking about this before the show, and they said that if they wanted to have someone that age on the front, they suggested Helen Mirren. I don't know whether that sounds like a...
I mean, I agree with that because you want your sports magazine to sell. You don't want people to pick it up and put it back on the rack. I'm just saying.
I mean, I kind of looked at the decision. I thought about it. I mean, it's a little sick, I think, having Caitlyn on there. That Vanity Fair cover looked amazing. And then we saw her on, you know, like on television as far as what she actually looked like after the surgery and said, oh. So, I mean, it's a clear difference. But I'm pretty sure that they're gonna touch it up. It's going to look decent. I think as an editor, if I had the chance to put, a Kardashian, no matter the age, naked on the cover of something, I probably would go for it as well. You'll get all types of friggin' backlash, but hey, they got the cover story, you know, and cause people to talk about it. I'm really afraid.
I'm scared too.
At almost 70 years old. Are you a Kardashian fan?
Sorry, go to hell.
What?
Cause you just go.
I actually am a Kardashian fan. I mean, who wouldn't want to make money basically for doing nothing? So, I mean, I'm down with that. Who wants to work?
True. I mean, and this is my thing about his show. I thought that I saw that I Am Kate was canceled after the second season. And you're basically getting, they're selling the name of having a Jenner on the cover. Nothing special. I don't think that anyone is expecting some hot, curvaceous woman to be on the front, sans editing, whatever. But again, you're paying for the name. And even on the show, she's not that interesting. We saw Bruce on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, just was not that interesting of a person to follow. So, I mean, well,
I agree with that statement. She's never been interesting, even as Bruce. Watching the Kardashians, you know, he was one of the last reasons I would watch the show for, to be quite frank. So I don't know. I felt like he feels that his transition made him think that he can hold his own show, but I don't know. I beg to differ.
It's interesting for me watching this because it's almost like we're watching the Kardashians slowly die to get to the point that almost each child has been a star, and almost each one has been a star in their own right for their selected period of time. And now we're at the point of the 70-year-old in the family appearing nude, and someone that just no one ever – it was like watching paint dry. And they're pushing this old lady out in front of the public. It's really hard, like, having a schedule of press appearances anyway, because she's out speaking and just doing a lot. And she's tweeting now. She never tweeted before. That's taxing on someone, and then being near 70 and just someone that, again, nobody felt like looking at to begin with. I mean, you're already like a foot out of the nursing home, and you're dragging this old lady around the country, gassing her head up, saying how big she is. Really? After you have decided not to commit to buying something for forcing us to sit through and witness you shopping. Shame on you. I'm just kidding. all I'm going to say is I want to see it. It's like watching a slow train wreck. I haven't really watched the Kardashians in years. I just tuned in the other day, and I saw the kids like cursing their mother. It was like, Mom, I think Chris was crying, and she was like, you all act like I'm the problem. And Chloe said, you are the fucking problem. I said, who talks to their mother like that? I mean, I at least watch, and I get to see all the things that I didn't get to do with my parents, because, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here today, but.
Exactly. And
every so often I like looking.
Yeah, like I like the Kardashians. I have seen episodes where they do talk crazy to their mom, but you know, then again, if you go to a suburban place, you see a lot of white people who talk crazy to their mother. You know, as black parents, where they beat the fear inside of us, basically.
Yes, we do.
Proud.
I grew up in suburbia, and I went to fine arts and magnet schools growing up, and I was around, you know, a lot of a varied audience, a lot of different ethnicities and all, and yeah, I saw some of those kids that talked to their parents that way, and yeah, I'm glad to say that I have all my teeth right now, because I am pretty certain if I was one of them, I wouldn't. I went to a little cousin's graduation, his kindergarten graduation, and this woman had a brand new Lexus, and it must have been maybe 1-2 years old. And I was in high school, and the child, I get in the car, because we were, you know, headed to the graduation, and he had taken a pen and wrote in every crack and crevice in that car. I'd never seen anything like it. How do you let your child do that? And as she's driving, the child is throwing stuffed animals at her head. And she's like, oh, please stop. Stop. Can you stop throwing things at me while I'm driving? Can you please stop hitting me? And I said, oh, my God. My parents used to, like, we'll be at the grocery store, and they will go and park the car by the woods and go get a switch and beat me when nobody would see. There were no witnesses.
My
I have been popped in the I've been popped in the store. At any given moment, with my mouth.
I got beaten in school before, in front of my classmates.
I had shame. Okay, so I tried to keep the public correction to a minimum. I did not act up in public, and all you had to do was say you were going to call my parents. Boom, done deal. You did not have anything to worry about with me. They even lied and told me that they were going to call my. They said my granddad was there one day. And I was silent, just silent the entire time. All right, so a question. Have you all seen the film Dear White People?
I recently
Anyone heard of it?
That, yes.
Chris, what about you?
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it. So.
I got laughed at because I actually did. I had not heard of it until this week, and I was just asked like what rock I was living under. I swear I feel like I'm the only person who hasn't. But anyway, the film is about a group of black students on a majority white Ivy League campus. The school was Winchester University. It was made up. It was a big hit at Sundance Festival, and basically. The film was about all of the things that that black people have been wanting to say to whites regarding our experiences. It was just greenlit for a 10-episode show for Netflix. I might have missed the film, but I think I'm going to actually tune in to see it. Do you think you'll be looking at that, Ellis?
I think I actually would, because it sounds like something that can be funny. Also, what really goes through our mind when certain things do occur. Like, for example, I have quite a few Caucasian friends. Like, I love Caucasians. I love everybody. But one of them have a habit of touching my hair when I just got finished doing my hair. And you know how black people are, our hair don't be staying in place like they do. So to look at it from like a aspect of somebody actually making a movie or a film about that and little details and little things like that, I think is actually hilarious and it has some truth behind it.
My issue with it, and again, I was really like lambasted on the phone earlier before the show because I was talking about this topic and I was like, and they said, Vonnie, why have you not heard this? And they said, you know, you just live in your own little transracial bubble. As I said, I grew up I was bused across town and I was in a very diverse school. So I just, you notice I tend to speak a little tough to put it nicely sometimes.
Yeah, a little hard.
On, yes. On, race because, I mean, I was just in these environments. I had to deal with other people, and that was it. My goal was to get from point A to point B in life and career and in school, and I just adapted to get along with folks. So a lot of the pet peeves and some of the arguments sometimes tend to go over my head. So one of the quotes about the film, which I kind of found a little interesting, the professor said, "Might I also remind you that I read your entire 15-page unsolicited treatise on why The Gremlins is actually about suburban white fear of black culture?" And the black student said, "The Gremlins are loud, talk in slang, are addicted to fried chicken, and freak out when they get their hair wet." Comparing black people to gremlins, probably not the best description there.
Yeah, not at all.
Do you have any, so in spirit of the film, Dear White People, would you happen to have any like open letter, Dear White People statements or any pet peeves that you have for white America that you would like them to either acknowledge or understand better?
Dear white people,
little corrective
you have
behavior.
Dear white people, just because you have two black friends don't mean you're not a racist. Boom.
Hmm.
And I don't believe like all, white people are racist, nor do I believe all black people are racist. Far from it. But the ones that are, they'll be the one quick to be like, but I have a black friend, so... I mean, have you noticed
and
that?
The black friend look real white too.
Yeah, exactly.
or they come out, or they be like Bonnie.
Really, like me? Chris is taking advantage of me while I'm down, and I admit that today was a little rough. getting ready. Okay, you're not going to be talking about. So what? I'm supposed to be the person with the black friend. Is that what you're saying? Never mind, I'm black myself. I guess we forgot that fact, huh? I'm side-eyeing you, Chris.
But you know what, Chris? I can actually see that. I see where he's coming from with that, Giovanni. I can see you being the black friend.
So the other show that I do is it's on Breitbart, and the host is Sunny Johnson. And she had called me once, and she... had said, that you're like my gay buffer or gay friend. And I said, yeah, I know. And she said, Bonnie, I'm kidding. I would never do that to you. And I was like, I don't mind. I mean, hey, some people only have the one gay friend or the one black friend. I mean, if I have to be the sacrificial lamb. Again, hey, sometimes those things go over my head. It is what it is. As for, the gay friend or whatever, it reminds me of Donald Trump this week. He, for Cinco de Mayo, it was a big deal where he took a picture with like a taco bowl or something in front of him. And I think he had a sombrero on his head. I don't know if he did that. But I know he at least had the taco bowl. And he tweeted, "I love Hispanics." And so there were some Hispanic groups that said that it was pandering, it was ignorant. Just because you want to walk around in a sombrero doesn't mean that you're going to get my vote. I want to say, number one, like I saw Bill O'Reilly, he said that. So eating Mexican food on Cinco de Mayo is now offensive. Like, where's the goalpost here on what we're allowed to do to not be offensive? Go ahead.
I believe that it's not so much of that eating a taco on Cinco de Mayo is, offensive depending on the person who's doing it. I feel like, you know, Trump created kind of a reputation for himself that he's kind of trying to clean up a little bit for a vote. So even if you're going to eat a taco on Cinco de Mayo and say you love Spanish people, why did you have to post it? For, I feel like that's a side eye, okay, attention, okay, let me show the Latinos that I love them too.
Yeah, you know, when I first saw it, I kind of chuckled a little bit. I understand, you know, we get offended by everything. But, you know, as a publicist, would I advise someone to do something like that? It's kind of trying a little too hard. You know, you could have, I don't know, thrown some type of event or something. But this is my thing. If he were to take a picture in Popeyes with a two-piece and a biscuit and said, I love black people, NYPD would be outside of Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue trying to protect it. I guarantee not that I would advise that type of a negative response, but seriously, you know, but I don't know what I don't know what's worse, the response of us trying to burn the building down, or him actually, or the thought of him doing that.
I think both is wrong. You know, just because two people could be wrong at the same time, you know, just a wrong doesn't right another wrong. So, you know, for if he does that and the response is wrong, that just means that that's wrong as well.
I mean, like, come on. I mean, you know, if this was – that could only be done for the Latino vote. I think that blacks have dominated the racial discussion forever, for all of time. So, or, you know, at least the last five decades or so. And the PC police, we're a lot more stringent on stuff like that. Like I said, yeah, go eat some chicken and say you love black people, and good luck with that.
Yeah.
Go eat
chicken.
Some chicken until you love black people.
Oh, my God.
Go eat some chicken until you love black people. Wow.
Well, I hope that there's that's not what I said. I said that if he took a picture doing that, saying that he loved black America, there would be problems. And I would hope that you have to do a little bit more to get the black vote than to be eating chicken now.
I
would hope we're a little harder to sell.
I agree.
Yeah, Chris is being cheap over there. Selling out your vote for some chicken. What does that sound like?
See, that's where you got me messed up already because I don't vote. So, I mean, I don't want to say I don't vote. It's just when Barack came into the office the second time I voted for him, then I'm not big on politics. I'm not, because I just feel like it's just pointless.
Barack, as in President Obama?
As in President Obama, yes.
Okay.
Brought my cousin, who stay on the West End, over by Kroger.
All I can say is there are people who are banking on you staying at home and try to make some type of an effort. Because at the end of the day, I mean, we may think that it's pointless, but, you know, every now and then we see, like, a really ridiculous building up for discussion. And the reason why these things happen is because, A, you know, for those who don't vote, and, I mean, again, if
why you
this
have
is
to
some,
emphasize that?
Well, all I want to say is if something extreme were to happen, you would only have yourself to blame. I remember being up at like 4 o'clock in the morning one day, and I looked at my phone, and I saw a headline because I scrolled through social media early every day. And I saw something about gays being shot in California. I said, well, hold on now. Wait a minute. It's like 4 a.m. Someone in a small city was going around getting a petition signed for a bill to have gays shot. And this is an attorney. how do you even remain on a bar doing something like that? This was over a year ago, maybe two. I haven't heard any stories of any gays being shot, mandatorily shot by the government. So I want to say that that didn't go anywhere. But, you know, they said that he was trying to prove a point that you could just get anything on the ballot. And he had all the legal right to do it. All that was necessary was to get the required number of signatures. And so the discussion was, I think the Justice Department would like, if it got to nearly being on the ballot, that they would intervene. But remember, politicians are human. So to think that we could possibly not have something inhumane happen, I mean, God forbid that be the case, it's most likely not going to occur. The potential is there. So yeah, you might want to cast your vote just in case.
I will be voting.
And it's good. I hope that rubs off on Chris. I mean, as crazy as this election is, as you know, I'm a Trump supporter. And part of my reasoning, I grew up in a family of business owners, and I'm a capitalist at heart. And, I mean, prior to a couple years ago, like, I just scrolled through a model that I wrote about today. I can't think of his name. I don't know. our latest eye candy model. And, like, he had posted a picture of Trump Tower as, like, a sign of success. No one has ever questioned Donald Trump being a success. No one has ever questioned his business record until recently. I mean, he's always been like the example of making it in America. So I tend to look past the temporary things, like all the remarks, some of, you know, the statements will snide something here, you know, corrupt Hillary, saying he's going to bomb the shit out of ISIS. That's my favorite line of his. Is it politically correct? No. But personally, I don't think the politics is, I don't think it's personal. And I am not going to sway my vote based on, you know, just statements that are going to make, like, press for a day. Yes, there's the question of professionalism. But at the end of the day, if you can get A, B, and C done, and I personally think there's a record of doing such, then I'm all in it. You know, just watch your finger on the button. And which, by the way, I support Donald Trump. And
I know, and I was getting ready to ask you about that, too.
The button, you know, they talk about whether he's going to be too hot-headed to be trusted with, like, the nuke button. As for Mexico and the wall, and they're like, how is Trump going to pay for the wall? It's easy. Okay. I'm going to explain how to handle illegal immigration over the border. All right. You ask the president of Mexico to stop or to try to intervene with those coming across the border illegally, and see anything being done. Just bomb the next train of illegals coming over. That's what I would do. Probably not the most humane thing, humane way of handling things, but that's what I would do, and I would totally support Trump doing that.
What did you just say?
I said that Donald Trump should ask the president of Mexico to help stop illegals coming across the border, and if he refuses, to bomb the next train of illegals coming across the border. And that will be an example to all others who want to come.
That is so mean.
Hey, okay.
I thought you said it. I was about to ask, do I need to, like, you know, get on this show, do I need to, like, get security or something?
Right?
That is Vonnie's foreign policy, okay? That's how we handle legal immigration.
But is immigration really such a horrible thing, though? Like, a lot of people...
Immigration is not an issue. And, no, immigration is not an issue. It's illegal immigration that is the issue. And every time the story gets repeated, it always gets changed to certain people or a certain group, political party, being against immigration. I have hardly worked with Americans in years, and I'm perfectly fine with it. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, my own professional experience, I haven't worked with anyone from D.C., like, ever, anyone naturally from here. And we bring in a lot of talent. There's a lot of great people who are here, and all these people came here legally. And that is what I support. They came the right way. And there are many people from other countries that are here who actually support enforcing what laws that we already have. Because it's not really an issue, to be honest, of, like, you don't have to create any more laws. All we're saying is to enforce what we have.
But did they do it the right way, or they did it the right way?
I agree.
Say that again, Chris?
Did they do it the right way, or did they do it the white way?
What is the white way, Chris? What does that mean?
Well, you walked past this segment so much when you said dare white people, because I had something that I wanted to say.
Please say it.
I don't like the whole, when it comes down to, like, paying wise, like, and when I say paying wise, I'm talking about you getting your paycheck from your job. I don't feel that just because somebody is a different skin tone from me or because of your nationality or whatever, I don't feel that you should be making more money than me when I'm the one who actually had to do the hard work just to get here, and you didn't have to do nothing.
Are you talking about in the workplace in general making less than...
In the workplace in general, yeah.
Well...
I have been a person who me with this type of topic goes along with me being in politics, too. Like, both of these type of subjects, and I just don't touch it, but I experience as far as the whole black and white thing in the workplace. So now I feel like I do have a say-so and I do have an opinion about it, and I just don't like it. I don't think it's fair. If you got somebody who went to school, who has multiple degrees, who can do anything for you underneath the sun, and then you have Becky with a good hair come, and she is just making, if not more than you, just the same amount of money for the same thing for something that's less than what you're doing.
I'll say this, okay.
All Becky is doing is answering the telephone and checking emails and doing mail runs and stuff like that. But yet making the same amount as you. I don't like that.
Say this, okay, Becky with the good hair. By definition, according to Beyonce's Lemonade, probably went down on management, and that's why she got to where she is. She might want to use a better
but I could go
analogy.
But that doesn't, will they give me a pay raise for that?
Well, it depends on how good it was. okay. This is my take on it. I mean, it's illegal to discriminate based on race in the workplace. And it's something that's talked about, you know, so much these days. And I kind of have a hard time with it because I feel like I don't understand repeatedly going over something that is already illegal. I don't know what else more there is to do about it other than the fact that you have to prove you have to prove that you're being discriminated against. And hey, I mean, if you are doing more than so-and-so and you know what the other person makes, I think that it's well within your reason to make the case of go to management and do it side-by-side and say, hey, look at our history, look at such-and-such, why is this person making more? I haven't been in that situation, but, I mean, that's how I would handle it.
Can I say something? I feel I feel also partially it is, you know, minority fault as well in general, because I feel like, you know, Black people are more quick to accept whatever, you know. And when it comes to white people, a lot of them tend to know their worth and what, you know, what pay they're going to accept and what they're not going to accept. Sometimes as an African-American, we're like, okay, we have this good job and, like, I'm fine with this pay. You know, this is cool. And so you end up getting paid less because you're accepting less.
I think that is true. I mean, oftentimes we are happy to get in the door. I mean, we just discussed this on last week's episode about Gabrielle Union said that she doesn't even get a chance to audition for major roles. She said, at least let me try, and you can tell me I'm not good enough. But she doesn't even get a chance to do that. So, you know, it's like by the time oftentimes when we get in the door, there is the case of possibly settling because you want to remain there. But the solution to that is, I've heard since I was a child, and I think many of us have, is education. Education is the key to going higher. And hey, if you have more on your plate, or if you can present yourself with more, then you can demand more. Plain and simple. One of the reasons why I don't support a free college education is, well, I mean, hey, you have to fight for something. You have to show that you actually work for something. College comes through blood, sweat, and tears. Like, that is just life. You know, so people keep saying, oh, it's so unfair that things are so expensive, et cetera. Again, Ivy League schools are more expensive because they're exclusive. I mean, that's life comes at a scale. All right. I don't know how else to put it. Yes, you can graduate from a public university and say it's just as good as the other, but yeah, I guarantee the Ivy Leaguer is going to make more money. And so, I mean, if you went through the effort of trying to get the scholarship to go to the better school, or you worked harder to afford the better school, you are going to be paid off in the end. So we also have to present ourselves better if we want more. I mean, you know the slogan, the saying about having to work twice as hard for half as much? It's unfortunate. That's life. And that example that Chris gave about Becky with the good hair, who might have less of, you know, half the experience that you have going further. That is, there is some truth to that. But hey, come to the table swinging, and you might be able to surpass Becky. That's my take on that. You all happen to have any other racial pet peeves? Any more dear white people? Nope.
Nah, I don't.
All right, Alice, what have you been working on lately?
Right now, I'm actually currently working on a new single that's produced by a Minneapolis-based artist and producer by the name of Angelo Bombay. And so him and I were working on a new song, and it's also featuring one of my good friends and talented rap artist, Young Platinum. And then I'm also working on a charity open mic event that 10% of the proceeds will go to pancreatic cancer. And that's supposed to be held in August. I'll have more details with that later on. And I'm also currently working on a book as well with this amazing guy, Rich Mart. So I'm excited about the future and things that's going on, and I will keep y'all updated with everything.
Writing a book? I must say that I'm a little jealous. I've discussed doing that for the last 2014. Well, yeah, I'm a writer, so it look, all my friends have, like, everyone's writing a book. You're like the fourth person
I know that it's either published or is in the process of publishing a book right now. I mean,
Javadi, you need to get on, but you could do it, though. You've got so much to talk about.
Probably not evidenced by today. You guys have to forgive me. I was struggling a little bit today. My team, I was having trouble with folks getting along. As I told you, I brought in a new team member, and they were fighting within 2 hours. 2 hours. Two! But I do really want to do a book, I'm just, if I could do the schedule, I'm ready to wave an SOS flag for a freaking help right now. And
you will do it.
I'm glad to hear about the new single. For those who don't know, Young Platinum was featured as an eye candy model of ours. Actually, Man Crush Monday, last week. I think it was last week, the week before. So he's someone that I have followed for a number of years. Both him and Ellis. I just thought of a reason to cover Mr. Platinum, and I'm happy to have Ellis on, and I have to cover the single once it's finished.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be on. Javadi has been a support system for me, and I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you for, Ellis, I'm his token Trump-supporting friend. Probably the same for Chris, too. Do you have any other Trump-supporting friends, or is it just me?
Just you.
Just me.
Just
That's
me.
Okay.
Just
I don't mind. I don't mind being the sacrificial lamb. If I could have half of the success, or even a quarter or a fifth of Trump's, I'll be fine. And I'll tell you one thing. Trump is like 70 now, I think, 69, whatever. That is exactly how I'm going to be at that age. I am going to be that belligerent, and I'm that belligerent, not caring what I say or how people take it.
You now, bro.
That's what's right. The same thing. I'm like, wait, you don't care now, though.
I mean, one thing that I learned from him is, which I was already kind of going in that direction, you take your stance and you hold your ground. I'm not apologizing for my opinion on things. I'm not going to apologize on my views. It is what it is. I like politics. I like discussing politics. I'm not a part of the political elite, nor did I attend one of said elite schools. But, hey, I'm still here. I still have my opinion. And, I have my little audience. hey, as long as they like it, fine with me. And if they don't, which I know many don't, as evidenced by my Twitter mentions, that is perfectly fine by me. Yeah, and I want to have Chris on more often, when he's not shopping.
You know what? Look, y'all, look. So every time that I do this with Bonnie, when he calls me, I'm either in the store, or in the mall. And I think that's so funny.
And I will say that we did reschedule at the last minute. I was actually scheduled for tomorrow. But tomorrow's Mother's Day, and I was supposed to have on a former Mr. Bahamas, Kenneth Kerr, I think in 2013, 2014.
Yeah. Who's this person that we're talking to on the phone?
I tagged you both on Facebook, so, yeah. And thank you all again. I know that these two agreed, yesterday. I've scheduled shows, months in advance, all up until literally this weekend. And this week came, and I wanted to collapse. I just couldn't, I just could not get radio together. But, yeah, these two agreed And I'm gonna have both of you guys back. All right, so wrapping up, this show has been brought to you by our parent company, VM3 Media, your destination for all of your media and communication needs. I would like to, both of our guests today, thank you, Ellis, for coming on. Thank you, Chris.
I just come for the booze and the food.
It's much appreciated. We're live each and every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and make sure that you go to poplist.com for the latest in celebrity news.